Let's turn out our Bible to Psalm 63 for our scripture reading today. I'll read the first and the odd-numbered verses. Pastor Brian will lead you in the reading of the even-numbered verses, and shall we stand as we read the Word of God, Psalm 63. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, as in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is.
To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary.
Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee.
Thus will I bless Thee while I live, I will lift up my hands in Thy name.
My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips.
When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches.
Because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice.
My soul followeth hard after Thee, Thy right hand upholdeth me.
But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down to the lower parts of the earth.
They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes.
But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies will be stopped. Let's pray. Father, we are here today to seek you. And Lord, just to come to a better understanding of your plan and your purpose for our lives. And so, Lord, open now our hearts, our minds to the things of the Spirit. And speak to us, Lord, through your word today. And help us, Lord, that we might take again a giant step in the right direction. Open, Lord, we pray, the minds and the hearts of your people, that you might speak to us, Lord, through your word, and do a special work in each of our lives for your glory. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're moving through the gospel according to Luke. And this week, we're in chapters 12 and 13. So we encourage you to read them over this afternoon. Join with us tonight as we gather again for the Word of God and just to grow in our understanding and the purposes of God for our lives. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 22, where Jesus is speaking here. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you will put on. The life is more than meat, the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and neither have they a storehouse nor barns, and God feeds them. And how much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If then ye being not able to do that which is the least, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, and they do not spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is in the field, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Seek not that what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. For all of these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is the most important thing in the world to you? What stands out in your mind as this is number one priority? This is the most important thing in my life. Or a second question. During your lifetime, what is the greatest thing that you hope to accomplish? What's your greatest ambition? When you come to the end of the road and they're giving a eulogy for you, what do you want said about you? The greatest thing that you're hoping that you might accomplish. You might ask, well, what difference does that make? Well, much, and in every way. If you don't have a goal in life, how do you know when you've achieved it? If you don't know where you're going, how do you know when you've arrived? I was reading that on a tombstone of a baby who died at birth, they had inscribed on the tombstone, "Since I was so soon done for, I wonder what I was begun for." Well, that was on a baby's tombstone. But you know, that very phrase could be written on many, many tombstones. People who have lived up into their 80s and 90s really don't know what they were begun for. They are just living out their days, but they really don't have any goals or any purposes that they really understand or know what they're living for. Many people even question if there is any real meaning or purpose for life. There are so many that believe that man lives like a hog and dies like a dog, and death is the end. Jesus said that there are things that people worry about, but they shouldn't be worried about them. Take no anxious thought, he said, of what you're going to eat. Isn't it interesting how much thought we do give as to what we're going to eat? So often I get home and Kay will say, "I haven't had a chance to fix anything. Let's go out for dinner." And I'll say, "Okay, where would you like to go?" "Well, you choose." And I'll say, "Well, why don't we go get some Italian food tonight?" "No," she said, "I don't want any Italian food tonight." "Well, then how about some Mexican food?" She said, "Oh, that sounds good. Where do you want to go?" I said, "Well, where would you like to go?" And so we'll decide which restaurant we want to go to. And of course, you go in and you sit down, and the first thing they do is bring you a big thing of chips and salsa, and you go through the menu and look at the many choices that you have for ordering. And as a general rule, I get so involved, I'm so hungry when I get there, that I eat up the chips and the salsa, and by the time the food gets there, I'm not hungry anymore. And you know, it's one of those crazy things. So, but what shall we eat? It's an important subject, and we do spend a lot of time wondering about that. But then he said, or what shall we wear? Now, my wife has a closet full of clothes. And yet so often I hear her say, "You know, I don't have anything to wear." Now, I might suggest some outfit that she has, and she'll say, you know, I've worn that so much that people will think that that's the only outfit I have. But as the scripture says, the body is more than food. And the body is more than just clothes. Some people believe that they are on a constant quest for the meaning of life, and they find it in food or in fashion. It's amazing to me, so many people think that they can find meaningful life in these things. Now Jesus said, consider the ravens. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't have storehouses or barns, but God feeds them. He sees that their needs are provided for. But he said, how much are you better than the fowls in the eyes of God? You see, they are his creation. You're his child. You're far more important to God than the ravens or the birds of the air. But Jesus said, which of you, through worry, can one add one cubit to his stature? Or how many could just add 1 inch to your height by worrying about it? If you happen to be short and you're worried about being so short, you can't grow another 2 inches by just sitting there and worrying about, I'm so short, I wish I were 2 inches taller. It just doesn't work that way. Worry cannot change even the simplest of things. So why worry about the rest? Consider, he said, the lilies, how they grow. They don't toil. They don't spin. You know, in the days in which Jesus was saying these things, making clothes were quite a project, because they couldn't go down to the store, the yardage store, and buy yardage and buy a simplicity pattern and go home and cut the thing out and sew it together on an automatic sewing machine. They had to make the fabric. I can imagine that more time was spent making the fabric than putting the fabric together into a robe. And I just can't imagine how time-consuming it must have been when the husband says, honey, I need a new robe. And she thinks, oh my, you know, have to make a robe for him. You have to make the material first and then, you know, sew it together into a robe. And so it was quite a process you'd have to go through. And I would imagine that making the cloth to make the robe would probably be at least a third or two-thirds of the task is just making the cloth. Consider the lilies. Jesus said how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin, they don't make their fabric. And he said, yet Solomon, in all of his glory, wasn't dressed as beautifully as one of these, the lily of the field, the beauty. And he said, now if God so clothes the field with such beauty, and we have such a short time of life before we die. Well, of course, with the lilies of the field, they spring out and are beautiful, cover the field with beauty and color and glory. But then the sun comes out and the summer comes on, and soon the fields turn brown, the flowers die, and the grass of the field is sort of gathered together, and he said, burnt in the oven. How much more will God, he said, clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not let your mind be troubled. Don't worry, Jesus said, about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. These are the things that clutter the minds of people all over the world. But your Father, he knows that you need these things. Earlier, he told us to consider the ravens. Your Father, he takes care of their needs. He is not their father. He is their creator. You are his child. He's your father. And if he takes care of the needs of the ravens, surely he'll take care of your needs if you'll just put your trust in him. But Jesus takes it a step further. He said, if he so clothes the fields with the beautiful flowers, which soon die off, don't you know that he's going to take care of your clothes? And so what then should we be seeking? Well, certainly we shouldn't be seeking the temporal things, because they're going to pass away. But we should be seeking those things that are eternal, those things that will last forever. These are the issues he's telling us to consider, to give thought to. You have only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what you do for Christ has any lasting value. You've heard, and it is rightly said, concerning your possessions, that you can't take them with you. And we know that that is true. Someone asked a friend of who had a wealthy uncle who had just died. He said, how much did the old man leave? And the fellow said, everything. And that's how much you're going to leave. You're not going to take anything with you. I haven't yet seen a U-Haul trailer being pulled by a hearse to the cemetery, to lay up all of this stuff in a grave next to yours. You're going to leave it all behind. And so you can't take it with you. But it's interesting, you can send some ahead. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves can break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's the key. Your heart is where your treasure is. And wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We are told here in Luke's gospel by Jesus, there in verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he tells us in Matthew, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, he's talking about priority. Get your priorities corrected. Put at the top of your priorities the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Pursue these things, And if you pursue these things, God will take care of the rest. All these things will be added to you. I fear that if the truth were told about most of us, there are other things more than the kingdom of God that we are really seeking after and pursuing. It is interesting to me that Jesus did question. When he returned, he said, "Will I find faith on the earth?" And you might look at your own life, take inventory. When he returns, will he find faith in your heart? Will your priorities be what they should be? Will it be after the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Jesus spoke a parable, and he said there was a sower that went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony ground, and they had not much earth, and immediately they sprung up, but because they had no depth of earth, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some, he said, fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. But then he explained the parable to the disciples. He said, "Now hear the parable of the sower. When one hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then the wicked one comes and catches away that which was sown in his heart. And this is that which was received, the seed by the wayside, or the seed that fell by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places is the same who, when he hears the word, he receives it with joy. Yet he has no root system, so it endures for a while, but when the tribulation comes and persecution arises, because of the word, he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is the one who hears the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust or desire for other things chokes out the word, and so that it just doesn't bring forth fruit. But then he who received the seed on the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, and he brings forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So I would suggest that you examine the soil upon which the seed of God is falling on your life. Would you describe it as by the wayside, to be trampled and not to even take root? Or does the word of God fall on stony ground? Have you received it with joy, but yet over a period of time, it just sort of fades away? The excitement of the word and the thrill of just following after the Lord. And we see that in so many lives on the stony ground. And when a little trial comes, persecution, they fall away. How about falling among the thorns? Grows up, but yet the thorns grow up with it. The thorns of the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. It grows up with the plant and it begins to choke out fruitfulness so that it doesn't bring any fruit to perfection? Or has the seed fallen on good soil? Is there fruit coming forth from your life? 30, 60, 100-fold. Can you point to good fruit that has come forth out of your life because of the word of God that has been planted there? It is interesting to me how that Jesus was able to really get you thinking in the right direction, thinking about the right things, awakening our consciousness and our minds to the things that are really important, helping us to establish priorities that make sense, to invest in things that will have eternal benefit and eternal consequences for good in our lives. Time to take inventory. Time to look at ourselves in the light of what the Lord has told us and what the Lord is saying to us in His Word today. Time to take a look. What is the Word of God doing in my life? Is there real fruit coming forth for His glory, for His kingdom? Or am I like the seed that's fallen among the thorns, and these other things are just choking out the fruitfulness from my life, and I really am not making any real dent as far as in accomplishments for the kingdom of God and for the glory of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that we can this day take a look at our lives and evaluate. And Lord, we know what You are looking for when You look at us. You're looking for the fruit, the good fruit that can come forth as we have a right relationship with You. Lord, I'm afraid that so often as You look at us, You see the plant that has become withered because there's no depth. We have just sort of built, Lord, on the stony ground, and there's just not a good root system that can nourish and strengthen the work of Your Spirit within our lives. Lord, we realize that there are so many here today that it's fallen really on among thorns. And Lord, where there was an initial growth, or there was, it looked like promise of the future, something good can come out of this life, and yet, Lord, the thorns ultimately just choked out, and fruit just didn't come forth. Help us, Lord. We want that our lives will be pleasing in Your sight, and that we'll bring forth fruit 30, 60, 100-fold for Your glory. And we thank You, Father, for that which You have done. And we ask You, Lord, help us to be everything You want us to be. Fruit-bearing Christians, for Your glory. And we thank You, Lord, and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front to minister to you today. If God has spoken to your heart, and in examining yourself, you realize that you're not what you should be. You're not what you would be. You would like to be a better Christian. You'd like to bring forth real fruit when you stand before our Lord one day to give an account. You don't want to have empty hands. You don't want to say, well, Lord, you delivered to me, you know, the one talent, and I know that, you know, you're a pretty tough fellow, and you sort of want something from it. And I was fearful, so I went out, and I buried it, and I hid it, you know, but I when I heard you were going to get... cause us to give an account, I went out and I dug it up, and here it is. Lord, here's your talent back. You remember what he said to that servant? You wicked, slothful servant. You knew the kind of fruit or the kind of results I wanted from my investments. I invested in you, and you brought nothing. So he said, take the talent from him. Give it to him that has 10 and cast him out with the unbelievers. And I surely don't want to have the Lord look with disdain upon my life when I am judged by him. But I want him to be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in the little things. Now I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And so that's my desire, and that's my hope, and my ambition, that I can bring forth fruit that will please the Master. I pray that that will be your desire also. We have such little time, only one life. It will soon be past, and only what you do for Jesus is going to have any lasting value. What are you doing for the kingdom of God's sake? Think it over. Take a careful examination of your heart and make sure that he's pleased with what you are accomplishing for his kingdom and for his glory. These men are down here to pray with you. If you feel that you'd like to just do more for the Lord and you just need some direction and guidance, and a willing heart is what God is looking for, and if you're just willing to just be an instrument in his hand, you can be sure he'll open up the doors of opportunity for you to be used for his glory. So may the Lord watch over you, may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord just use you in a very special way in sharing his word, his love, his truth with those who need to know that God loves the world and has provided the means whereby we might draw close to him and be really of an advantage to him by our service and by our commitment to the things of the Spirit. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee,
and keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee.